Good to see ya. Pastor Chelsea was telling me that whenever they went over to Legacy and gave them those roses, that all pretty much they called all the ladies that worked there out, and they all came out and was like crying and stuff, like, thank y'all are the best. So that really, you know, it touches people to let them know that people's thinking about them and things like that. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as believers, as Christians, right? Amen. Showing the love of God. So if we've never shown the love of God, we need to check ourselves. Should have heard a wee better amen than that, but moving along. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we'll pray and go ahead and get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word and to feed our spirit, man. I thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to feed our faith. I thank you, Father God, not my will be done this morning, but yours. Not what I want to say, but everything that you'd have for this congregation, but not only them, but also for me. And make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth things from your word, truth from your word for us this morning. And Holy Ghost, we ask you, sir, to unveil and reveal truth to us this morning. And we thank you for it, Father God. And everybody agreed, said amen. Amen. I think it was Wednesday. I talked about, what did I talk about? Meditating. That was what it was. Meditating on the word. Not the other way. Amen. Because the other, like yoga and all them, got meditation from God. Should have heard a better amen than that. But moving along. All right. Amen. Because meditate is not to sit like on Lion's King, like that monkey was sitting there going, that's not correct meditation. Meditate is to mutter, is to run over and over in your mind, or saying it constantly. Amen. That's what meditate is. I'm actually going to talk a little bit about foundation, which kind of goes with what I spoke about a little bit last Wednesday. I looked up the word foundation, and it says that the purpose of a foundation is to support the structure that will be built on top of it. A foundation needs to be able to support the weight of the structure above it, and needs to be able to distribute the weight so that the structure does not shift, which can cause parts of the structure to pull apart from other sections, or in worst case scenarios, cause the entire structure to fail, resulting in injury or death of any inhabitants. Amen. And me and Pastor Chelsea, we actually, I don't know where we was, but we watched, what was that show called? Yeah, like Engineering Fails or something like that. It was really interesting, though. There was this one building on there. It's, how tall was it? I don't remember how tall it was. Well, while I'm talking, y'all can turn over to Luke 6, please. Luke 6, we'll start about verse 47. I'll probably read it out of the NIV, maybe. We'll see. And there is this building. This guy, he was actually on there talking about it. He bought the top part. It was like an apartment complex, or a housing, I guess. Something like that. And so the top part that he bought was 13-something million for it, right? And so this building started over time. It was pretty tall, and they had rods going down. And this was in San Francisco. They had rods going in the ground everywhere for support, to support the foundation and everything. That way it didn't shift and stuff on them. And so they built this building, and it started shifting. It started moving, and it moves like a foot every year or something like that. And so they're trying to figure out how to fix it. Come to find out, they started building this place, and they were using metal. They were using iron. And then halfway through, somebody said, you know what? We can do this cheaper and just pour concrete instead of metal. And so halfway up, they started using concrete. And so the whole foundation was built for iron, not concrete. It's interesting, ain't it? That halfway through, they decided to change it. To change the way that they were doing their foundation, change the way they were building, just started feeding on other things and stuff. And so the foundation started getting just wobbly to where it can't even support it now. The guy ended up moving out overnight because he was standing there. We watched it. He was standing at one part of his house. He had a marble, and he rolled it. And it went up and stopped and just started taking right back off towards him and went behind him and shot that way. It was amazing. And so they were worried. They're like, this bad boy's about to go anytime. I don't blame you. If I'm up about 80, 100 feet, not today, I'm out. Right? But I felt, you know, a little thing like that. Well, it doesn't matter what I watch. It doesn't matter what I listen to. Amen. All right. Where are we at? Luke 6. Good place to start. 47. I'm probably going to read it out of the King James. Sorry. You can keep the NIV up there. I'm going to read it out of the King James first. 47 says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." That word messed me up. I almost didn't get it out. Next verse, please. "They are like a man building a house who dug what? Down deep. Who dug down deep and laid the foundation on what? When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was what? Well built." Next, please. "But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Amen. Of the two builders in this, one is a thoughtful man who deliberately plans his house with an eye to the future. The other is not a bad man, right? But thoughtless. Amen. But thoughtless. Casually building in the easiest way. Amen. Tap your neighbor. Say, "We gonna make it." Amen. The one is earnest. The other is content with a careless and unexamined life. The two people seem to want to avoid the hard work of, no, the second person, sorry, the second person seems to want to avoid the hard work of digging deep to ensure a strong foundation, and also takes a short range view. Amen. Never thinking what life will be like 6 months and 6 months into the future. He trades away future good for present pleasure and ease. Amen. I'm going to read that one more time because I like it. It's really good. One is a thoughtful man who deliberately plans his house with an eye to the future. Amen. Is that how we're living? Because if you wait till you need faith to get faith, you're too late. You can still get it. Amen. But why? Why deal with that stuff till you get your faith built up now? Amen. Y'all might as well say amen. It's so. It is. Amen. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. So it brings the things of the unseen into the seen. Correct? So that's looking to the what? Future, looking forward. Ain't it? Y'all can sit up here, Steve. Y'all can sit up here. It's fine. They're looking to the future, right? The one is a thoughtful man who deliberately plans his house with an eye to the future. The other is not a bad man, but thoughtless. Thoughtless. Just, you know the saying, it is what it is. Thoughtless. It is what it is. Thoughtless. Because if it is what it is, that means that God doesn't have the ability or power to change it. Because I thought we create things. How were we created? In the image and likeness of God. And so if God is a speaking spirit and can create with words, faith-filled words, what can we do then? Amen. Faultless. The other man is not a bad man. I'm glad that that's really... He's not a bad man. He's not a horrible man or nothing like that. He's just thoughtless. Just, I can make it probably. I'll just do the bare minimum. I'll just do enough to help me get through. There was some information. Whenever I got in the military, I was in basic training. And before I went to my unit, there was a commander there. He liked me pretty good. And he told me, he said, look, no matter what, if somebody asks for a volunteer, be the first one to jump up and run to them. And I thought that was the craziest thing. I was like, why would I do that? Why would I just volunteer all the time for that? But he's been in this longer than I have. And so I took to the advice. I did. And so every time they ask for a volunteer, Ricky's up and moving with a purpose. He's not slow getting up. Everybody might stare at me, and everybody might call me a brown noser. Oh, you're just trying to get, be the teacher's pet, the sergeant's pet. You say what you want. It became to a point to where Ricky was never on any of the volunteer work. Why? Because I chose to do the advice that he gave me. I wasn't thoughtless about it. I didn't take the advice and go, that probably won't work. So I took what he said, and I said, I'm going to apply that to my life. I'm going to see how it does work. Did I see it immediately? No, it took a little bit. But I eventually seen the day to where he said, Edwards, sit down. You're always volunteering, getting up. Sit down. You don't have to do it. I said, thank you. So I wasn't very thoughtless about the information that I got. I used it to my advantage. And throughout my military career, I ain't bragging on me, I'm bragging on God, just so everybody knows. Amen. I ain't bragging on me by no means, but God. Like this one kid's, well, never mind. But I was always promoted real quick to where people were like, you got it that fast? Yeah. Why? Because no matter what, I'm always the first one. No matter what. I don't care. If one night, we had to clean the toilets with a toothbrush and a rag. The whole stream. You think that's fun? But I chose to take the information and do something with it. I didn't just let the information sit there and stare at it and go, I don't think that'll work. I had to put that information that I received into action and do something with it. So now I'm not being thoughtless about what I'm doing. Now I'm looking towards the future going, at the beginning I was like, I hope to God this works. Amen. So one of them, is a thoughtful man who deliberately plans his house with an eye to the future. The other is not a bad man, but thoughtless, casually building in the easiest way. It's it's funny how some people, they always want the easiest way. You know, that's probably just human nature. But a lot of people just want, what's the easiest? Or what's the fastest, right? Might as well take time and get a foundation under me. Well, what are you talking about, a foundation? Well, this right here is the foundation to which you build everything on. So whenever sickness shows up, you already have the word of healing on the inside of you. So now you're not wavering if it is the will of God for you to be sick. You're going, that's not from God. That's from Satan and his cohorts. That's from him. This doesn't belong to me. God, Jesus delivered me from all of this the day he went to the cross. So I don't have to deal with none of it. So I command you to leave now. See, that's the foundation. It's not wavering, going, I hope I get healed. I don't know where this came from, God or the devil, one of them. You know, if you ever read the Old Testament, you know, a lot of them talk about, well, God did this evil, God did. It's because they didn't know there was a devil. If you ever read it, actually read it and look at it. All of them say that, you know, God did this. Well, they didn't even know there was a devil. They didn't, but they learned it in the New Testament, because Jesus tells them, look, you got to take authority over Satan. Yes. Over who? Satan. And if God did give a sickness, why would Jesus go around healing people that God gave them sickness? Now he's not doing his Father's will, is he? If that's what God wanted, was somebody to be sick, who is Jesus to go heal them? Moving along. All right. Amen. He casually building in the easiest way. The one is earnest. The other is content with a careless and unexamined life. Amen. We could really stay here all day, but we'll probably go forward. The second person seems to want to avoid the hard work of digging deep to ensure a strong foundation. Sorry, I thought it was up there. It's not up there. It's in my notes. Some people's kids. Sorry. To ensure a strong foundation. And also takes a short-range view, never thinking what life will be like 6 months into the future. He trades away future good for present pleasure and ease. And ease, if it's easy. Look, if y'all want to throw rocks, Pastor Chelsea will be at the door in a little bit. No, I'm joking. Luke 8:21, please. We'll go to Luke 8:21. Yeah, NIV, thank you. He replied, this is Jesus, right?
Yes.
Amen, I agree. He replied, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and... My mothers and my brothers are the ones who hear God's word and... Amen. He replied, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word, not the theories of men. Who hear God's word and put, amen, put it into practice, amen. Well, what do you mean put it into practice? Well, it's like any kind of sports person. What do they do? So if a baseball player is wanting to go to, what's that called, the major leagues or whatever, the major leagues to be a professional baseball player, do you think he constantly practices golf? No. Why not? It'd be silly for a football player to be out there playing croquet. Yes, sir. Wouldn't it? man, you're 280 pounds. Why are you playing croquet? So we got to put into practice the Word of God in our life. Correct? That's what I'm talking about. So if Scripture is talking about healing, then I put into practice. Whenever sickness shows up, I start practicing. I start putting my faith to work. I say that sickness does not belong to me. That Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. That's part of the curse. That's not mine. Satan, you got our sickness. I command you to leave my body right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I'm healed and whole. And then I don't lay in bed and call everybody and tell them how bad I'm feeling. Because now I'm acting the other way. Faultless, yes. But as soon as I do it, I get up and act my faith. Because what did my faith just say? My faith, me, not just a theory, not just I suppose, it's Jesus or sickness. I command you to leave my body in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Ricky. I didn't take it. What Jesus bore, I don't have to bear. So I use that and I act my faith. I say, thank you, I am healed. And then I act like I'm healed. Right? Y'all remember the story about Brother Hagin whenever he had half of his face was paralyzed. Remember? He went up to the front and got prayed for it. And the man said, amen. And he said, I was just waiting for him to say amen because that's the point I was going to release my faith. That's your point of contact when you release your faith. Don't just be willy-nilly about your faith. Have a point of contact for your faith. Amen. And his point of contact, he said, as soon as he says amen, I'm releasing my faith because I know I'm healed. And so he released his faith. And he is walking home, and all of his friends were like, you're not healed. Look at the side of your face. And he said, I was still paralyzed. They said, look at your face. It's not even working right. You wasn't healed. He said, yeah, I was. See, they're working off their senses now. They're not working off what faith is. They're working off what they can see, feel, touch. And that's how the world operates.
Yes, sir.
The world operates off of, well, the stock market's doing bad. You better do something with your money. You better start hiding it all or do something with it. People's going to come start stealing people's toilet paper. And if I continually listen to that, what do you think I'm going to start acting like? And now you won't even be able to tell me from the world. Because if I'm acting just like them, but yet I'm supposed to be a believer, a Christian, that acts just like God acts and does just like Jesus did, right? So then I can't allow those things from everybody else to affect me. I got to have that firm foundation underneath me. Where do I get the firm foundation from? The Word of God. Well, I don't have time to read it all day. You know, whenever I was working for the water company, I'd put my headphones on or I'd get my phone and I'd turn it upside down, put it in my pocket, and I'd just hit play. And it'd read the Bible to me throughout the day. Amen. There does come a point, though, to where you need to get in the Word. That way you're able, because if you're just constantly listening to it, well, what notes are you taking, or what are you highlighting, and what scriptures are you standing on? Well, I don't know. Well, you got to get into the Word to find the scriptures to stand on. Right? That's what we do. We'll get scriptures and we'll put them all over our house. Yeah. Well, it's just tape and paper. I don't care.
Right. Amen.
When we're going after things, I use the Word of God to get it for me.
Yes.
I get that foundation set on the inside of me. And then there's going to come a time God says, all right, now go. And now we're releasing our faith and we're going at it. A foundation, right? Put into practice. Turn over to James 1:22 real fast, please. The NIV again. I don't think we're going to make it. I don't. It's all, we are. Yeah, we're doing what the Holy Ghost. We asked him to do it, so we'll make it where we need to make it. Amen. 1:22 NIV, it says, do not merely listen to the theories of everybody else, of your family, of your friends, of the news, of whatever. Amen. do not merely listen to the word. And so deceive yourselves. Do what? What it says. So it's saying don't listen to everybody else either. And don't actually just read the word, but do what the word says. Do what the word says. There comes a point in all of our lives when we got to start doing it on our own. The pastor can't do it for you. He can believe with you. But there's going to come a point in your life where you're going to have to believe. Amen. That just happens to all of us. Just like we grow up naturally, we grow up spiritually. Amen. Turn over to Proverbs, please, real fast. 10:25, the Passion. The wicked are blown away by every stormy wind. But when a catastrophe comes, the lovers of God have a what? A secure anchor. What's the point of an anchor? Hold you in place. That's what the Word of God does. See, when it's on the inside of you, it holds you steady. It'll keep you if you let it. Amen. And when you've done all to stand, stand. And if you stand, then standing won't be that long. If you've done all to stand, then standing won't be that long. All right, let's go over to 1 Corinthians real fast, please. 3:10. Do the good news or the Passion. Do we have good news by any chance? No. Y'all all right this morning? Amen. Amen. Almost lost my iPad. The good news, 1 Corinthians 10:3-10. God has given me unique gifts as a skilled master builder who lays a good foundation. Amen. Afterward, another craftsman comes and builds on it. Amen. So builders, beware. Let every builder do his work carefully. According to what? Not our standards. Amen. Next. For no one is empowered to lay an alternative foundation. For no one is empowered to lay an alternative foundation other than the good foundation that exists, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. The good news says, using the gift that God gave me, I did the work of an expert builder and laid the foundation. Amen. And someone else is building on it. But each of you must be careful how you build. For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Amen. Amen. So if we don't have a good foundation underneath us, when storms of life do come, what's going to happen? Like we was reading in Luke 6:48 or 49, it talks about, turn over there so we can read it. It talks about the man that builds it on sand, right? Did I ever read that? Okay. Thank God. I believe it's at 48 it talks about the sand, though. Or 49, I mean. Luke 6:49. But he that heareth and doeth not. Amen. But he that heareth and doeth not. See, we got to settle it. Is the word of God so or is it not so? And that's something we have to settle in our own lives. It's not something that your wife can settle for you. It's not something your husband can settle for you. It's not something that your pastor can settle for you. Each one of us has to settle it in our own hearts. We have to. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation got nothing to build on, nothing to stand on. Amen? He's without a foundation. What is somebody without a foundation? How do they not have a foundation? They heareth and they doeth not. Right? Right here it tells us is a man that doesn't have a foundation. Right? So that's somebody that hears the word of God and goes, I don't think that's so. I don't believe that. No, you're just after my money. No, I ain't. Keep your money. Amen. Because number one, that's between you and God, not me and you. Amen. That's between you and God, not me and you. Amen. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat, what? And immediately, as soon as the storm came, knocked down, fell right down where your face hit, right where your feet were a second ago. Look, storms of life are going to come. I'm telling you right now. And if you don't have the foundation. Now, look, we're all building a foundation, correct? But including me and Pastor Chelsea, trust me. Because there's things we go through sometimes. I might almost fall. So that just lets me know you need to keep building, keep your foundation. You need to keep getting it. The word on the inside of you so that it gets stronger and firmer. That way, whenever another one of them show up, you're not moved. Like you just, you know, you might do one of these or something, but you get firm. You get the word on the inside of you. That's because that's exactly what this is talking about. Everybody knows that, right?
Yes, sir.
The foundation is the word of God. You understand that, right?
Amen.
And immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Amen. So the stream did beat vehemently and immediately. That's interesting that you could tell right away if you have the foundation or not. You can't. Because if you ever have a something going on and you just... I'll talk about me. I know about me. That one time, Chelsea, you know, she quit working at Laughlin Ranch. She's starting her business as a cosmetologist. I almost said a cosmetologist. Politan? Cosmetologist, that's the word I'm trying to say, but whatever that other word is, I don't know what it is. Moving along. And so we got a bill in the mail, because I was working right then, right before she got the business started. And she's like, hey, we got... this is unexpected bill. We're going to have to pay this. And I looked at her. I said, you're going to have to get a job. See, my foundation was shaky. See, the wind, the storm came, knocked my head right where my feet were a second ago. Knocked me right off balance. I believed more in a system. Hey, that was good. Amen. I believed more in a system. Because if I believed in God, then the first thing out of my mouth should have been, well, thank God we have a supply. But see, I was looking to the world to supply what we needed. I said, you're going to have to get a job, the world's way of doing things.
Yes.
And the world's way of obtaining things.
Yes.
You're going to have to do that. Because the word of God is not big enough or powerful enough to get us through this one. And that's where we get shaky sometimes. Because when we start sounding like that, it starts creating doubt and unbelief on the inside of you. Because now you believe more in the world's way, in the world's system of doing things, than you do in God. Amen. Y'all all right?
Yes,
tap your neighbor and say, would you please smile? Turn over real fast, please, to Luke 8. Luke 8:22. Pull that up in the Passion, please. one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's get in a boat and go across to the other side of the lake. Amen. So they set sail. Soon Jesus fell asleep. The wind rose and the fierce wind became a violent squall that threatened to swamp their boat. Next, please. So the disciples woke Jesus up and said, Master, Master, we're sinking. Pay attention to this, I'll tell you. Don't you care right here that we're going to drown? First question, who told them that? Exactly. How many times do we allow circumstances to talk to us? Well, you're sick. You better not do that. Well, you don't have the money for that. What do you mean God wants you to have a house debt-free? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you care that we're going to drown? With great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and surging waves, and instantly they stopped and became as smooth as glass. Then Jesus said to them, why are you fearful? Have you lost what? Have you lost your faith in my ability? Have you lost your faith in my power? When we allow circumstances to talk to us, they become bigger on the inside of us. When we allow circumstances to dictate to us what we can and cannot do, that those become the biggest thing in our life. Amen. I'm not talking to you about something that's a theory from me. Once again, we were able to live it. Because you make, 12 or 13, whatever it was, $1,000 in 1 year with a wife and 3 kids, and tell me how you do. Amen. It was rough. And so I'd had to make a decision. Ricky, either you're going to get in the Word, or you just, something else is going to have to happen. You're going to have to get 3 more jobs. I don't like the fact that I allowed myself to not be at rock bottom, but close to it, before I wanted to get into the Word. I don't like that. I should have been in the Word prior, because then it wouldn't have took so long. Amen. Shocked and shaken, they said with amazement to one another, who is this man who has authority over winds and waves that they obey him? Amen. That's good. Amen. What verse was that? 25? Okay, yeah, that's where I wanted to go. Don't you care that we're going to drown? Who told them they were going to drown? The circumstances, right?
Yes.
Amen. I agree. What was the circumstance? The storm. That's what it was. The storm, the wind. The thing that is trying to tell you that what God said is a lie and that you will not be able to get out of this one. That's the circumstance. The one that's telling you that what God said is not so, it's a lie. There is no way you're getting out of this one. You're stuck. Amen. As soon as the hard times hit, their foundations couldn't sustain them. Could it? Because why? Well, number one, they panicked. And then they started speaking about, we're all going to die. So if you have a firm foundation under you, I don't believe those words would be coming out of your mouth. You'd be standing up and speaking to it like God did, like Jesus did. Amen? They believed more in the circumstances than the ability than God's ability or Jesus' ability to destroy it. Amen. Y'all all right this morning? I don't think this is a hard sermon. I thought it's a helpful sermon. But some of y'all look angry. Amen. Look, it's helping me as much as it's helping y'all. Trust me. Trust me. Amen. They believe more in the circumstances' ability to destroy them than the power or ability of the Word of God that would get them to the other side, which was part of the foundation that would have ensured them that they are going to be on the other side. Because what was the word? What did Jesus say to them? So that was part of the foundation, but as soon as the circumstance came up, they forgot the foundation and said, we're going to die. They didn't say, we're going the other side. See, that's the firm foundation. See, whenever that situation or circumstance comes up, and if they'd have just been like, we're going the other side, instead of, we're going to die. The foundation isn't there. The foundation has disappeared along with you and the storm. Amen. Turn over real fast, please, to Matthew 16:19. We don't have the good news. I got it. Do we have the CEV? CEV, as in Victor? Charlie Echo Victor. Right. Matthew, please, 16:19. I'll read out the good news first. Matthew 16:19, it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. And what you permit, say permit, on earth will be permitted in heaven. See, if we allow lack and sickness to be a part of our life, there's nothing God can do about it. But if we don't permit it, then God will not permit it. Right? Amen. But it's interesting that he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So then there's obviously keys in here that will help us have a firm foundation in life. Right? So what do keys do? They open up doors, they open up chests, they open up treasures, they open up truths. Amen. Verse 20, it says, then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to say plainly to his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer much from the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. I will be put to death, but 3 days later, I will be raised to life. Man, I guess they're about the same, ain't they? And then verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid it, Lord, he said. That must never happen to you. Amen. Verse 23. In verse 23 in the CEV, it says, Jesus turned to Peter and said, Satan, get away from me. You're in my way because you think how? Because you think like everyone else. See, if I constantly feed on news and things like that, that's constantly negative, I will begin to think and adopt the ways of that lifestyle. I will. That's why it's important. You know, I'm not talking about family. I'm not. But, I mean, Jesus told Abram, get away from your family. There's things in there that you don't need. There's things in there, customs that they do that you don't need to adapt in your life. Let me teach you and show you. So that way you'll be blessed. Right? Yeah, the culture, that's a good word. Thank you, that's one. You're in my way because you think like everyone else and not like who? That's so good. Amen. And not like God. Amen. The good news says, I think it's a little bit of the same. It says, get away from me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my way because these thoughts of yours don't come from God, but from human nature. Amen. I'll say it again. He says, get away from me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my way because these thoughts of yours don't come from God. Amen. But from human nature. Amen. Your thoughts come from the way that life, you think life is supposed to be. Your thoughts come from the way that you allowed the world to tell you you shouldn't have too much. Amen. It's a little different for me that because for someone to think that we shouldn't have too much, but yet God blessed Abraham so much that he had servants go fight in the army. He had that many servants. It's 300, I think, or a little more. That's a lot of servants. And then him and Lot had so much substance and cattle and things that the land couldn't sustain them. But yet for a believer to think God doesn't want us to have too much, how did we get there? You know, not part of the sermon. Moving on, sorry. Get away from me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my way because these thoughts of yours don't come from God, but from human nature. Amen. From the way that from the way that your parents have taught you or whatever. We shouldn't allow the customs or the ways that everybody else does things or do things, however whatever proper English is there. Say it to yourself. Amen. Affect how we live and do things. We shouldn't. We really shouldn't. Amen. But allow the Word of God to show you what your life should be like. Yes. Amen. Yes. Can you pull up the message real fast, please? Matthew 16:19-23. Can you just go to 23? I like this. It says, but Jesus what? But Jesus didn't swerve. Jesus didn't swerve. Amen. He didn't allow it to shake him or to move him. He didn't try to get out of the way of it. He faced it and told it. Amen? Amen. Turn over real fast. We'll close with this one. Romans 12:2, please. Pull it up in the Amplified, please, ma'am. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adopted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed. Say changed. By the entire renewal of your mind. Right? by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. You got pull up the CEV, please. That's fine, I'll read it. Dear friends, God is good. So I beg you to offer your bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. Do not be like the people of this world, but let God change the way, what? That's what we need. Change the way, what? You think. Amen. Don't be stubborn. Amen. Allow God to help you. Amen. Change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to Him. Amen. The Phillips says, verse 2, it says, well, I'll start at verse 1. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and accepted, acceptable by Him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Amen. Don't allow the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Amen. So that you may prove in practice, what does that mean? Doing it. Not just talking about it, doing it. Prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good. Say, the plan of God for me is good. Amen. Meets all His demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Amen. Amen. I think I'll stop there. Amen. Did y'all get anything out of that? Yes. Amen. Well, thank God for helping all of us. Amen. I'm gonna pray real fast, and then I'll let.